This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. It's Food Friday. If you're like me, you really don't like throwing away food, but sometimes it gets away from you. You didn't know what to do with the stuff before it went bad. For one of his restaurants, our next guest is collecting food that would have been thrown out from local grocery stores. Dave Heide is the founder of the cafe Little John's. He's also executive chef and owner at other restaurants named after his kids. Chef Dave, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Good to have you back. Now, like I said, I don't think anybody likes throwing away food, but you've really taken it on as a mission. Why is that?
I think some of the statistics we found when we were first researching helped kind of make those concrete. So 40% of all food produced in the United States ends up in a landfill. And the crazy thing is that's pre-consumer. So that's before you even buy it from a grocery store. We're throwing away about 40% of all food produced. And so for me, I was like, how can we have people going hungry? How can we have families in need? How can we have, in one of the richest nations in the world, how can we have people going hungry while we throw food away? So that's why we created Little John's.
Yeah, we've talked a little bit about Little John's and the pay what you want model, but part of it is the food waste story. How are you getting into the supply chain there before the food hits the landfill?
Yeah, you know, we've had a lot of, we're working with grocery stores so like Metcalfe's. We've taken over 100 tons of food from Metcalfe's that would have ended up in a landfill. We've also worked with a bunch of different local farms. So like this time of year in Wisconsin, I mean, this is the hard thing in Wisconsin, right? As a local chef who uses a bunch of local farms, we love supporting local farms, but the way Wisconsin works is there's nothing, everything in the world at once, and then winter. So one of our big challenges is working with farms, but also taking in like, we just brought in over 37 cases of tomatoes, right? So like, how do you even process 37 cases of tomatoes? And they're all beautiful tomatoes from local farms, but they have everything coming up right now. You know, same things with, we've got a bunch of squashes coming up and tomatoes. So for us, it's, you know, working in time of plenty. So we're right now, like tomatoes are like key for us. So a lot of our dishes that we're putting out have beautiful farm fresh tomatoes that I can't even get at my restaurant. You know, they're just absolutely gorgeous.
Now, this is a common problem that people might have out there right now. Lots of tomatoes and a limited amount of time to do something with them. For people in their home kitchen, what are things you've been doing with tomatoes that might help them use up more of them?
My favorite is obviously like a super simple, like caprese, right? You know, just some fresh mozzarella, you know, from like Farmer John or another local cheesemaker. Some tomatoes sliced up, take some of the fresh basil. Like we grow basil like crazy, both at our house and at the restaurant. Just take those, throw them together. You don't even have to make them fancy on a plate. Just take them, mix them up, throw them into a bowl together, drizzle some extra virgin olive oil on them, maybe a little bit of balsamic, some fresh salt and pepper. And that is like one of my favorite treats of the entire year.
That sounds fantastic. Now, do you have other thoughts for people, you know, at home? We've got the stuff in the fridge, whatever time of year. Is there like a mindset for coming up with things to eat to make sure, again, we're getting ahead of the clock, not letting stuff go bad?
I think one of the biggest problems we have is that when we're coming up with what we want to cook, we try to think about what we want to cook for the whole week. But guess what? Life happens, right? So we buy 6 meals worth of food, and then the reality of life hits us. And then we're like going out to eat. We're doing takeout one night. We're ordering in pizza. And then the next thing you know, you've got that like bag of soup that used to be asparagus sitting in the back of your fridge, right? You know, the like it's turned yellow and it's soggy and you can tell it was asparagus, but it's definitely not anymore. So my challenge to a lot of people is like, even though it seems inconvenient, instead of buying all of your groceries in one fell swoop, just try to go a couple more times, like maybe go twice a week or 3 times a week and only buy what you need for the short term. It keeps your fridge easier to manage. You have a lot less leftovers and it lets life kind of happen around you instead of like planning out ahead of time because life is super uncertain.
Mentioning asparagus makes me think, you know, sometimes in the middle of winter or late fall, say, I'll look at a recipe. Oh, that sounds really good. Oh, it's got asparagus, you know, which this isn't the great time of year to get asparagus.
Not
maybe
right
I shelve that recipe. Could you talk about thinking about seasonal cooking to make sure we're getting, you know, that good local stuff that is abundant and we're able to use it up now?
I think one of the things that's so amazing about Madison is that you have access to a farmer's market literally every single day of the week. So you can just Google and say farmer's market near me, and you can find a farmer's market within 10 minutes of you all the way through the end of October. And there are a lot of markets that even go well past that. So my advice always is like, yes, you can't get everything you need to eat or to shop with. It's not like a Target, right? You have to get what you can at a farmer's market, and then you can supplement with others. But people ask a lot, like, why do I use so much local? Like, is it because like it makes me look good, or it's like farm to table is a trend? And the reality is like the reason I buy local is because it just tastes better. You know, we were talking about tomatoes earlier, right? If you take a tomato and you get it from the store, like, I don't know if you've ever had a store from or a tomato from a local grocery store, but it tastes more like a potato than a tomato. You know, they're super starchy. They taste like a green tomato, right? And it's because they ship green and then they gas them to turn them artificially red, right? Because they have to travel from Mexico all the way up to Wisconsin over the course of a week. And instead, when you go to a local farmer's market, they're picking it red off the vine, and then they're bringing it to market. So you get this sweet, beautiful, juicy, tender, like amazing full tomato without all those big pockets of just water. And you get the best quality product. Or like, you know, I think, you know, like my favorite apple is a Honeycrisp apple. But, you know, if I get a Honeycrisp apple from like a Target or from like a major grocery store, you know, it's a thick skin, you know, it doesn't taste as tart or as sweet. It just doesn't taste as good. Versus if I go to like Apple Garden, you know, it's four blocks away from my house, and I get apples that are like picked within the last 2 days, and the skin is so thin, and it's so sweet, and it's so incredible. Like, that's why I buy local, is because you get better product from people who really care about the product they're doing, and without having to worry about shipping.
Talking to Chef Dave Heide on this edition of Food Friday, founder of the Cafe Little John's, executive chef and owner of a couple other restaurants, talking about food waste, avoiding it, how to cook with it in mind. And Chef Dave, you know, one of my go-tos is soup, especially starting this time of year when I want nice hot food. I have a recipe I call fridge soup, where I look at what's in the fridge and then I make soup out of it. Do you have other go-tos like that where it's like, I need to use stuff and make something good with it? What are some of your things?
Actually, my best hack having to do with food. Yes, this I promise this will lead into soup, but my best hack for anything having to do with groceries is when you get them home, even though I know you're tired and you had a long day and you already had to go to the grocery store and you've got stuff to do before bed, prep your product right when it comes in the door, right? Like, if you buy whole carrots, like, peel them right away and chop them into carrot sticks if that's how you're going to eat them. If you have cucumbers and like you like to use them as like things with dip, like, put them in a mandolin really quick and slice them through so you've got those ready to snack on. If it's onions, chop them up really quick. Because then, like, I think the biggest barrier for most people when it comes to any kind of food prep is that barrier of like, oh my God, if I want to cook dinner, I've got to get out a cutting board and a knife and multiple different pots. And like, it becomes this overwhelming cleanup, not just the cooking, right? I think most people enjoy the cooking. Like, if people could walk into a traditional like TV kitchen, right? Like Emeril's Kitchen, and have everything totally prepped for them, and all they have to do is like stand over a pan and stir it and then be a great chef, like, I think people would cook every single meal. I think it's the cleanup and the prep that really tends to be overwhelming for a lot of us, right? So my recommendation is like, just dig in, get your prep done right away. And then you can be really creative when you're cooking, because you don't need to worry about anything other than one saute pan. So you can just look in your fridge and say, man, I've got these five things. Let's just put them in a pot and try it out. And I think that's where real creativity comes from. I know the show before I came on, they were like, can you send me three recipes? And I was like, I literally don't make recipes, because like, I just love cooking with like whatever is there. And I think a lot of times when we're learning how to cook or we're trying to cook more, recipes can be wonderful to give us inspiration, but they can also hold us back and limit us, right? If a recipe says it needs a quarter cup of Serrano ham, I might be like, oh, I don't have Serrano ham. That whole recipe isn't available. But guess what? You could even leave the ham out, or you could throw in turkey, or you could throw in whatever you want, and it's still going to taste great, right? And for me, recipes, although they can lead to creativity of like, oh, I never thought of combining those things together, a lot of times they can end up challenging us. Like, I have people all the time when I try and make them jambalaya, they'll say like, oh, you know, I like jambalaya, but guess what? I don't like onions, and there's a lot of onions in jambalaya. Wow. Well, guess what? Don't put in the onions, you know, like, we get so handicapped by seeing what has to be in a recipe and we feel like we have to follow it. And the only time that's true is in baking. If it's baking, totally do it the way the recipe says. But other than that, go with what you feel in your heart.
Now, that prep your veggies right away is genius, and points to what a genius I am not. Because often, like, I'll cut up like a bunch of cold veggies to go with a meal, right? And like, oh, I cut up too many. And so I put them in the fridge. And the next day it's like, this is great. I've got fresh vegetables ready for me, but I never take the next logical step and just advance prep those veggies so they'd be ready for lunch. And so right now, there's like some radishes in my crisper. Like, are they good now? I don't know. I'll have to look tonight because I, you know, I don't want to take the time to cut them when I'm having a quick lunch. That mindset, Chef Dave, really could cut a lot of food waste, I think.
Well, and like my wife and I always joke around a lot when we're looking at recipes and we're looking at stuff because, you know, I am a chef, right? I've got a beautiful kitchen and fridge. We spent 10 years trying to get to a point where we could remodel our house. So we got this great kitchen to cook in, but so many times we come home and we look in our pantry, we look in our fridge, we look in our freezer. And my wife and my joke is like, oh man, all we have are ingredients. There's nothing to eat in our house. So the fun thing is like about prepping ahead is that it lets you say, yes, they're ingredients, but they're super easy to access. And you get rid of that wall or that barrier that says, I don't have the time to cook. I think time is so important. You know, I challenge people a lot, right? Like people think that cooking takes a long time, but if you really think about how long it takes you to do something like takeout, which by the way, please keep supporting our restaurants and doing takeout. Definitely do that. That's fantastic. But when it comes to things like takeout, think about how long it takes you to like do your order online, right? And then drive to the takeout place and then wait for your takeout food to be ready and then come back home. Like a lot of people are like, oh, I save time doing it. But you don't really, right? It takes about 40 minutes to get takeout, right? Versus if you cooked at home, you could probably do the same thing in 40 minutes. And my best advice to anyone, if you live with anyone, whether it's a kid or a partner, like make cooking something that you do together, right? Like cooking by yourself is always viewed as a chore, but cooking with people is how we create memories and experiences. And I think that's always been my biggest thing is that food to me is love. Right? Like it's how we share our heritage, our culture, our memories, like it's all around that. So if food is love, then share that love with the people that mean the most. And it's also a great way to get kids to eat food that they might not have as otherwise, right? Because they were a part of cooking it. So if you want to cut down on food waste, get your kids excited about cooking with you, right? Get them excited about tasting it with you and being like, oh, see how, yes, it has onions, but now that they cooked off, they caramelized and the sugar the sugar and the onion turn beautiful and sweet. And, you know, it's not spicy or crunchy anymore. It tastes really good. And let them be a part of the like science and art that is cooking.
Chef Dave, thanks again for joining us today.
Anytime. Oh, by the way, I am looking forward to getting my pin. I just became, I know you're in pledge right now.
Yes.
So I just signed up for $10 every month from you guys. So looking forward to getting my pin.
Excellent. It'll look snazzy in the restaurant, I'm sure.
I'm adding it to my hat.
Oh, cool. That's Chef Dave Heide, founder of the Cafe Little John's, executive chef and owner at other restaurants named after his kids, soon to be proud owner of a WPR pin. He joined us for Food Friday to help us cut back on food waste. Well, it is, in fact, our fall member drive day one. Ellen Clark joins me now. We're here to ask you to invest a couple few minutes of your time to support your future WPR listening.
I love Chef Dave.
He's a lot of fun. I always
have
fun.
That's right. Listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs you count on, programs like Central Time and Food Friday. That's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
Just a few minutes left this hour. We are getting close to our goal. Just need five more people in these last few minutes. We can make it to the goal with your help. Make your gift right now. Support the programs you enjoy every day.
Five more gifts. WPR programs are listener powered. That means your donation right now makes a big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I love Food Friday. One, because they're often a lot of fun. Two, because I learn valuable stuff. My cooking has gotten so much better hosting this segment each and every week. I hope you do too, and I hope you come away from Food Friday with practical advice that you can use in the kitchen, you know, maybe tonight, maybe this weekend. These are the kinds of helpful conversations you can count on here on Food Friday and on Central Time.
And don't forget, WPR is listener-supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics and Food Friday you tune in for possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Ask for the WPR enamel pin. It's a new design for this year. It features a radio tower. Wear it on your hat, your backpack, your jacket. Broadcast your love for WPR programs when you're out and about. It's available today only with your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Sarah, and I live in Madison, Wisconsin. I would tell a friend that they should join in listening to Wisconsin Public Radio because it's one of the coolest sources of interesting news and stories and happenings of the day. If I get those news segments during my time listening to public radio in the car, I have a pretty informed sense of what's going on in the world that day and can feel like an informed, ready-to-go citizen.
We're listener-supported radio. That means we count on money from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Go to WPR.org and click donate.
You can give online at WPR.org or you can call 888-202-2552. Central Time, and it's the Fall Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Ellen Clark. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for Wisconsin public radio programs that you rely on. That's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, really has an impact.
It is important. We hear from a lot of first-time donors who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college, or people who've turned 30 and realized, I'm a grown-up now. Maybe it's time to give to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Giving money to something you believe in, a service you count on, is a great way to mark a new phase of your life. Many first-time donors will give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose the amount that's right for you. Then go online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And the really nice thing is, as a donor, you get to decide the amount to give. Maybe that is $100 or $200 a month. That might be the right amount for you.
That might be what you spend every month on a takeout or other forms of entertainment, for example. It's stuff you enjoy, stuff that makes life better, kind of like listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. The important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you. Figure it out, and then make your gift. And it's going to take really just a few minutes to do it online at WPR.org or with a phone call at 888-202-2552. Counting down here, we can hit our goal this hour, maybe during the news break if that's what it takes, but only if you make that gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's so important. Support Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for your limited edition WPR enamel pin. This pin, featuring a radio tower, is yours with a gift of any amount today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Step up right now.
Oh, do
this
it right now.
This new pin is only available today.
Well, and I just got a note. We just need one more. Maybe they're on the phone right now. Maybe they're not. Maybe it's you. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Love to hit our goals on the first day of the drive. We count on you to help make this all possible. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.